I can make you famous. 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 You can buy your battles, but I can buy your billboard.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Lauren Has Friends podcast. I'm Lauren Kozlowski, and today my guest is my oldest friend, Justin Muesheng. He and I go way back, way back. We talked recently at the Project 21 Film Festival in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where a film Justin wrote with previous Lauren Has Friends guest Tony Griffin was being screened. And between screenings, Justin and I sat down to talk about filmmaking, the movie Drive, how I often annoy him, and of course, mustaches. Enjoy. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Lauren.
Welcome to the podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
Are you glad to be here?
I'm very glad to be here. In person.
In person. This is a rarity. Normally I have to do it over the internet.
Yes. Here we are staring into each other's eyes.
It's so creepy. So creepy. So to start off, how long have we been friends?
Well, we've been known each other since kindergarten. Yeah. And we were friends throughout elementary school, middle school. We became friends in high school, I think.
Stephen King books.
Yes.
On the bus.
Riding the bus together. Talking, being cold. I made you sit next to me because
yes,
it was so cold.
It was so cold. Sit next to me on this cold bus. We may warm each other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And today we continue to warm each other.
Mm-hmm. With words.
With words. Metaphorical
mm-hmm.
warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
You never know. So we're here at Project 21.
Yes.
This weekend.
Yes.
Your film, The Girl with Blue Eyes.
Yes.
In competition.
Yes.
It's going to win them all.
Well, it's
going to win them all. I've seen it 3.5 times.
Mm-hmm.
The half was because I half watched it today in the room when you were showing it to other people.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to check my Twitter. I've seen this shit.
But you're still kind of riveted at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
Your eyes kept being drawn to the screen.
It sucks you the fuck in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, we had already kind of covered this with Griffin, so I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
But, real quick, how much is you and how much is Griffin? I asked him that. He was very, equal. But you can be honest.
Yeah, it's all me.
Okay.
Even the parts I wasn't there for during filming.
Right.
It's all me. All the performances, the editing, everything I had nothing to do with, still me.
Well, that's good.
Modest. No, Griffin came to me with this idea, and he had like certain scenes worked out, and he told them to me over the phone, and I kind of put them all together into a coherent script with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and then we just went back and forth with it. He'd rewrite it, I'd rewrite it, and then we went over it on the phone, and the result you see on the screen, and hopefully soon to be online in a special extended version.
Ooh.
Maybe like a minute or so longer.
Bonus scenes.
But that's Griffin's doing. I believe he'll be premiering the extended version at his film festival in Michigan called Thriller Chiller in Grand Rapids.
That sounds neat. I'm very excited for that. I am excited for an extended version of
Me
Girl
too.
With Blue Eyes.
Me too. There's actually scenes that we had in the script that aren't in the film as it exists now. And I know he's planning on putting at least one of those back in, which hopefully will further expose the moral quandaries already evident.
Yes. So... I wanted to ask you this because I think you're very funny.
Thank you.
Why are your films not funny? And I don't mean they're supposed to be funny, but they're not. I mean, like, they're always so serious.
Here's the thing. I write a lot of funny things or things that are supposed to be funny, whether you find them funny or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those generally haven't been made.
Okay.
And then I write things that are sort of not dramatic, not funny. They're just... like stories.
Yes.
Like Time In, the short film I did with my partner Chris Capshaw,
yes,
partner in Hard Boiled Productions. That one is a drama, but I think it's also has moments of levity to it. And, you know, I had a lot of things, you know, I write a lot of things like that. But I have written straight-up comedies, and they haven't been produced for one reason or another. Or they're like, for instance, the last two feature screenplays I wrote were both comedies, flat out. And they make me laugh, but they have not been, haven't gotten any interest in any bites yet.
Producers, step your game up.
Yeah, but I mean, I did just write them, and it takes years for anything to be produced. I've been submitting them to competitions and that kind of thing.
Chin up, friend.
Thank you.
All right, so we've caught up with you on that part. What else is going on with you? Did you see Drive?
I did see Drive.
Did you like it?
I liked Drive.
But you didn't love it?
I didn't love it, no.
What stopped you from loving it?
I think the film itself stopped me from loving it. I remember distinctly, spoiler alert, I'm going to get into some details.
Oh my God. If you haven't seen Drive yet, what's wrong with you? Pause the podcast, go watch Drive, come back. Welcome back. We're talking about Drive.
Well, I was watching it and liking it, digging it, getting the mood, the vibe, loving everything about it. And specifically, what kind of made me pause was the scene where Ryan Gosling's character kills these two guys who ambush him and Christina Hendricks in the motel room.
Yes.
Starts off, like, blowing Christina Hendricks away, and I was like, oh, I like her. I wish she was going to be in the movie longer than, you know, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, this is advancing the plot. Fine. And so one of the guys comes after Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Gosling, like, puts him down. And then he takes what, if I remember correctly, is a shower curtain rod that's blunt and jams it through the guy's rib cage, spewing blood everywhere. And it's a moment where, like, the film hasn't been trying to be this serious, realist thing or anything, but it's been, up to that point in my mind, it had been more realistic than a typical action film. You know, you have the action films where you have Sylvester Stallone mowing guys down by the thousands, and you have an action film that's, you know, John McClane, gritty, just trying to do what he can to survive. That'd be the first Die Hard. All the rest of them are more.
Right.
And then the second, Ryan Gosling sticks this shower curtain rod neatly with little ease through a man's rib cage. I thought, I had to pause and be like, okay, wait a second. I'm watching a different movie than I thought I was watching. Or the movie took a turn. I had to readjust my expectations with it or what I was thinking about it. And it sort of kept me distant from it. It kept me from, like, really losing myself into it.
Hmm.
I'm not against films like taking turns or turning out to be different than whatnot, but the way it was performed, it made me just, like, take a step back. And then, as it went on, I was also a little disappointed because, you know, the plot is purposely very simple.
Right.
But I thought, after a certain point, it got too simple, where, particularly toward the end, when, you know, it was basically him and Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
And they meet up, and, like, you know where it's all going, and I wanted there to be just something just a little bit different. It was different in how it was filmed. It was different, you know, in how it was acted and edited, but it wasn't different in how, in what actually took place. And I was just sort of...
You admire the style, but you needed more substance.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there is substance there, but it's up to each viewer to kind of lend his own substance.
Because
I've read a lot of really great analyses of the film, but it's a film that's so ambiguous, and I've read a lot of, you know, the filmmakers all had all these different intentions, and they had all these different influences, that it's sort of up to you to draw out what you're going to draw out from the film, as it is with most films. And I guess I have to watch it again to see if there's anything for me personally to draw out from it. Besides, like, this music is awesome, and I really like the performances.
Mm-hmm. I always enjoy talking about movies with you because you always, I try to be analytical about films, and people tell me that I'm very analytical about films, but sometimes a film like Drive will come along, and I'll just literally just be like, Drive?
Mm-hmm.
The movie's fucking awesome. Oh, you mean that scene when he stabs the guy? That was sweet. What's your problem?
Mm-hmm.
But I understand where you're coming from.
if I can explain how I'm feeling, that's at least something.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on a lot of the other films that we've seen this weekend?
You going to make me do this?
Oh, we're going there.
They've been films.
They've been films that have had people and events take place in them. Yes. Taking place over a duration of time.
Yes. I've seen a few that have been, they've been good.
Right.
I've enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
I've seen a few other films.
That were also films that you saw.
Yes.
There we go.
They were also films that I saw.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed the films this year that we went to two screenings.
We've been to two screenings, yeah.
And basically these screenings work that...
Here at Project 21.
Project 21.
Contextualize.
Yes. They show you 10 movies.
10 films a screening.
10 films a screening. Each one's 10 minutes, thereabouts. Each film is 10 minutes. So you're in there for about 95 to 100 minutes.
Yeah.
About the length of Drive.
Yes.
Yeah. And I found that during each one, there's at least one that I fell asleep during. And one that I really, really didn't like. Really didn't like.
Yeah.
And then one that I did like a lot, not counting yours. There was each one had like, oh, I really like that one. And yeah, I found when we were out to dinner last night, it was like a multi-part dinner that we had last night.
Well,
like
first we had appetizers
in one restaurant. Went to another restaurant.
Went to another restaurant.
And then we had the wonderful denouement of beer and chocolate cake.
Yes.
The great regret of my life.
Yes, I had Jack Daniels and chocolate cake, which went together better.
I think so. Yeah.
Beer and chocolate cake.
And a guy sat down next to us. His name was Steven. Correct?
Yes.
Yes. And I said to Steven, "Oh, what movie did you have?" And I gritted my teeth because what movie was he going to say? And thank God it was like the only good movie in one of the screenings. And so I said, "Oh, thank God, yours was a good one." Oh, but man, could have been anything else. How do you, this is something I talked about with Griffin on his podcast, and I want to talk about with you, because I find it something that when I, on a professional level, like when I'm at work and people are paying me to be positive and nice and everything,
yes.
I can do it.
Yes.
But in my actual life, like being positive about things that I'm not being paid to be positive about, I find very hard to do.
Yes.
And you and Griffin are kind of rolling this trying to be positive all the time thing. Although Griffin was, not doing a very good job of it last night.
No, but, he was not.
Hilariously so. How do you? How's that going for you?
It's going fine. See, I just think, you know, you have your opinions, and how you express them mm-hmm. can either help people or it can hurt people. And I want to more help people if I think they've done something that I didn't like or that I disagree with. And I just think being honesty is not always the best policy, in my opinion.
Really?
I think, you know, tempering, especially when you're in the same field. And
right.
Who knows? You might end up working with these people or want to work with these people. Or,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's better to stay positive. And, you know, if I were a critic, I'd feel differently. And I love what critics do. I read a lot of critics. When they're very bilious, I think it's hilarious and I love reading it. But I feel if I want to conduct myself in a professional manner, I have to keep back sometimes what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking, or perhaps choose a more constructive way to express my thoughts.
Now, it's interesting you brought up critics. Just this past Friday, mm-hmm. I want to say, this rapper, Spankrock, had an album, came out on Tuesday, got reviewed on Pitchfork.com on Friday. Pitchfork gave it a negative review.
Okay.
So Spankrock took to his Twitter and basically, and he said, after I get a negative review, it's always fun to Google the critic to see how ugly they are. what do you think of that response to criticism?
I think, well, it made me laugh. And I think it's certainly an honest response, and I appreciate it in a certain sense. For me, I feel like as long as the critic explains where they're coming from, like if they're just tearing something down to tear it down,
mm-hmm.
they don't seem to have a good argument, then, you know, yeah, the artist is somewhat right to express that he's pissed or that he disagrees. But if a critic seems like, you know, they have their shit together, and they didn't like it for whatever reason, you know, that's their opinion, and you don't have to get pissed about it.
I don't know if I have any other questions for you. What else is going on with you? How are things with girls?
With girls?
With girls.
I'm single.
All right. We got that out there.
I always think it's funny. I remember, you know, sometimes people say or have told me,
uh-huh,
you know, when you're looking for someone.
Yes.
When you stop looking.
Yes.
And you just say, forget it. I'm just going to be single. I'm going to be happy. Then all of a sudden, somebody enters your life.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's the one.
That's real.
Here's my question, though.
Okay.
How does one stop looking? Because for me, it's like I'm not like actively going out and trying to find somebody, but I'm always open to whatever. If I happen to meet someone, it's like, hey, yeah, let's hang out. Let's. My question is like, when people say, that's it, I give up, I'm not doing it anymore, what does that entail? Because maybe that's just how I live my life and I don't realize it.
It's one of those things where, in my personal experience, that's what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking. Whatever, whatever.
You were looking.
Was I?
I remember we were all hanging out. We had all graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all living again in Southeast Michigan.
At our parents' houses.
And I remember you said something to me like, dude, I got to hang out with girls. I need just me and you hanging out in houses. This ain't working. I need some sort of female presence.
That sounds about right.
And I said, well, I know a girl. Just like that.
And then we got married.
Yeah.
7 years later.
7 years later. Ah, boom.
Wow. All I can say then is keep on keeping on that avenue.
Well, I'm totally content in my life.
I want you to get married.
I
want you to settle down, honey.
I will if and when I meet the right person. If I never meet the right person, I think I could still be happy. If I do, I could also be happy. I just feel like
right now you're really enjoying the anonymous sex, is what you're saying.
Loads and loads of anonymous. Like, you just in New York, you just put a blindfold on and walk into a room, and all you feel is flesh. That's how we roll in New York.
Your Whole Foods are crazy.
Just wrap yourself in a giant rubber condom, like,
oh man,
Naked Gun.
New York sounds crazy.
That's how we roll.
How I know you've been living in New York now since 2006?
2007.
And I know when you come back to visit your home in Michigan, mm-hmm, for holidays, your general tone is, ugh, how did I ever do this?
Yes.
How'd you get like that?
How did I get that attitude?
Yes. What is it about...
I think I always had that attitude.
Really? But you always knew you were meant for city dwelling?
I think so.
Is it because you hate lawns?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
In the city, you don't got a lawn, don't got to mow it, don't got to take care of it, don't got to manure it.
Was that a constant problem you faced?
Yes.
Put some shit on the lawn.
Just go outside, take a dump on the lawn, and spread it around. Use your hands.
I'm moving to the city!
I don't ever want to take care of a lawn ever again. I don't know necessarily that it's city living that always called to me, but I always wanted to travel. And I always liked traveling. I always liked getting out and seeing other lands. And I'm one of my great failings is that I don't do that more often.
For a while you were doing it.
For a while.
You went to Japan.
Yes, I went to Japan.
You Japanned it up. You climbed some mountains.
I did. You climbed the mountain.
You bedded some foreign ladies. I don't think you did anything else when you were over there, though. You were just like, get up in the morning, bed someone, mm-hmm, mountain, come, mm-hmm, back down the mountain, eat some Japanese food, because that's all they had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was your constant complaint.
Every day. And I paint a watercolor.
More Japanese stuff.
Yes.
Did you ever have a day when you were in Japan?
Mm-hmm.
And you were in Japan from September 2004 through June 2005?
Yes.
Yes. Were you ever there and you thought, I just want to eat a hamburger and watch Friends?
No, because they have hamburgers there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can get a fast food hamburger that's not...
Okay. Do they have Friends?
Not that I was aware of, but okay. I've never really been a big Friends watcher, so
no.
I never felt a keen hankering for Friends.
Okay.
My main motivation for coming back to America was, one, my job sucked there.
Oh.
Loved the country.
What did you do over there?
I taught English at what was essentially the McDonald's of English schools. You'd have to teach 8 lessons a day, 40 minutes a lesson. You'd have 10 minutes between lessons to plan a new lesson for these students.
Or go to the bathroom.
And or go to the bathroom.
Oh, man. Sorry, there's no lesson today. Daddy had to boo.
The students were all ages. The adult classes, there was up to from 1 to 4 people. The kids' classes would have 1 to, I think, 8 or 10. And it wasn't the teaching that I didn't like. It was the way they made us teach. Because essentially we were just reading words out of a book. And it required no thought on our parts. And it drove me nuts. And it was I was just boring and unhappy with it. And the other reason I came back was because I still wanted to make movies. And I didn't feel like I could do that as well in Japan as I could in Michigan and the United States. Because in Michigan, you know, I had roots with filmmakers there, such as Griffin. I wanted to get back to it. I wanted to chomp at the bit.
So when you came back, you worked on a lot of stuff, and you worked on one film. And I might have talked about this with Griffin. I don't know if that was on the podcast or not, because I can't remember that far back.
Mm-hmm.
But you made this movie called Lucky.
Yes.
And you sent it to me. And you worked on that movie for how many years?
Probably back in maybe 2005. We started shooting it in 2006 before I left to go to New York, and we finished shooting it in 2008 for me coming back from New York for like a weekend to finish all my scenes.
I thought it was an interesting film for the reason that I felt that my feelings about your character and certain characters in the movie was not at all what apparently anyone else was thinking. There's one scene in particular very early on in the film when your character, whose name was
Nick,
also known as
Nick the Prick. Yes.
And he walked into a room and he had a conversation with the female character where he made offhand mention that she was barren, could no longer have children. Very crass.
Yes.
And then he was like, fuck you. And then walked out.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, that was cruel. That was awful. That was a really mean scene. That was some Neil LaBute shit. And I called you like right after that. And I said, that's some hard shit. And you said, well, that's kind of what we're going for. But then later on in the movie, your character re-encounters this woman. And clearly the scene was supposed to be a rekindling of the relationship of some sort. But it felt more like somebody about to get raped. And you guys seemed, both you and Griffin, when I bring this up, you seem genuinely surprised by this.
Yes. I think what the intention was, originally the intention for the film was to have sort of my character and Mike's character be these two guys who are...
But people haven't seen it. What's the plot?
The plot essentially, it follows Mike's character through his trials and tribulations with love and relationships.
Ladies, ladies, ladies. That's what you should have called it.
You're right. It should have been called Ladies, Ladies, Ladies. My character is a supporting character. Originally it was supposed to be sort of a co-lead. Then I moved to New York.
Good job with that one.
Sorry. So... It was going to follow my character, and I think you'd probably get a better sense of his redemption. But after I moved to New York, it became more of a supporting character, and so it became more of a sort of the villain of the piece, so to speak. The guy nobody likes.
No.
Who things just sort of work out for.
I remember watching it thinking, okay, I can separate actor from role, you know, person from character played. And I remember thinking, he is just awful. He's just an awful person in this.
Yeah.
And first of all, that's when I knew Justin's a better actor than I realized.
Thank you.
Not to say that I'm like underestimating your talents, but I was like, hey, this guy's pretty good, because I hate this guy. I fucking hate this guy.
I'm surprised you didn't just punch me in the face the next time you saw me.
Like I said, I can separate the two. You know? Although if I ever see Christoph Waltz, I'd be like, that dude's a Nazi.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Obviously.
Obviously. So where am I going with this? So, yeah, Lucky is crazy for that reason. because you have these essentially these two parallel plots, more time spent on Mike McCallum's character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we mentioned that. And his, luck or unluck with love, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And then your character just kind of pops up and... Yeah, it's just like, oh, this guy again. He's awful. Why is he trying to be nice? Because he's so awful.
Well, I think part of the story of the film, part mm-hmm. of the message,
the theme,
is you make your own luck, in especially in terms of relationships and whatnot. If you're an asshole, you're going to be unhappy, and you might be like, why do I keep meeting all these terrible people who don't treat me right? And well, you're the common element there. And I guess my character is an asshole, but in a sense, he goes out and he makes his own luck, and he makes everybody else unhappy, but he seems pretty content by the end.
He does. He seems pretty content and oblivious. And,
yes.
One of my
wholly oblivious. So the other message is that ignorance is,
ignorance
is bliss.
Is bliss. I did think, though, it was funny that the end of the movie, on the commentary track, one of the people says, oh, the ending, you know, it can be read either way. It could be happy. It could be sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, it's a sad fucking ending. But you throw, or whomever, you, but there's this swelling, upbeat music that plays underneath it
mm-hmm.
that I can only read as ironic.
Mm.
I don't know. It's kind of like if somebody re-edited Chinatown mm-hmm. and put Let's Get It Started underneath the end. We get a Jack's Chinatown. Everybody, you know, as he's dragged to his car. And I remember thinking, that doesn't fit.
Well, I think the looks between, the spoiler alert, the looks between Mike and Grace's characters with the music indicates, you know, maybe these two will find something together with or without my character being involved.
Can I tell you my idea for Lucky 2?
Yes.
My idea for Lucky 2 is, spoiler again for Lucky, but, Grace is the woman that your character, Nick, is yelling at the beginning of Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of Lucky, they're together.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Can't wrap my head around why you two
have
get back together.
Have you looked at me?
Well, I mean, okay.
Come on. Let's not discount
okay.
this element.
All
here.
Right. Okay.
Let's be
all
honest.
Right. All right. Aesthetic aside.
Yes.
You know, okay. So she's blinded by your beauty.
Yes.
Fair enough. I think it should start where she's on trial for your murder.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not actually in it. Sorry. They wrote you out of Lucky 2.
Okay.
And then with that, the whole thing would be her trial. And at the end, spoiler alert for a movie that's never been made, she gets away with it.
Okay.
And then she's Lucky 2. See what I did right there?
Sold.
There you go.
Sold.
Damn.
Lucky, by the way, is available at oneluckymovie.com.
There you go.
If you wish to.
A lot of other things happen in it. And there's this scene that Griffin shot with you guys in front of a bar.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes.
My favorite, the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that to Griffin. He's like, oh, shucks, you know, I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. He's very modest.
Very modest.
Very modest. What other things can we talk about? Because that's the you know, every great podcast has that moment where you're like, I don't know what else to say to you. It's just good seeing you, man.
What do you think of The Wire?
We're not talking about The Wire.
What television shows have you been watching?
Me?
Yes. Because one of the things that Lauren loves to do when he calls me...
Yes.
Update me
on all the television shows I've been watching.
I remember when we were in high school and college, you would call me up
mm-hmm.
and talk about the talk shows, what guests had been on,
yes.
what they had said, what they were promoting. And I'd sit there like somewhere between spacing you out and listening.
You know, when you bring that up, I think back like, why did I do that to him? That is the
because
worst
I would,
thing.
I would
you
kind
would
listen. Of
listen. And, you know.
Gave you attention.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm like, I don't do that to him now. Like, oh, I do it to Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do it to now.
Do it to Rachel. You probably do it to Simon, too.
No, Simon, I just say, who's a good dog? Oh, you are. Yeah. That's all I say to Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'd talk to him more, but his lack of response is infuriating. You know what I say to Simon a lot? You know what I say to that dog?
What?
Why don't you talk? if you could talk.
Yes.
Oh, I say to Rachel all the time, could you imagine what he would say if you could talk?
He'd probably say, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm trying to lick my balls here.
Yes, exactly.
Where my balls used to be.
Television shows I've been watching. Well, I've seen one episode of Two Broke Girls.
Yes.
And that was sort of like...
Can you tell us your motivation for watching that one episode of Two Broke Girls?
Kat Dennings.
Fair enough.
She can get it, is what I'm saying. She's very, very attractive.
Yes.
Which is, I believe, a big motivation behind a
most
lot
things.
Of entertainment. Is
most saying, human progress is behind...
Why would anyone watch this, yes. listen to this, eat this? And they're like, oh, let's put an attractive person next to it.
Why am I going to invent this awesome thing? Why am I spending all this time and effort on it? Because it's going to get me laid.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed, there's a new phone. I don't want to get off topic from Two Broke Girls here. But there's a new phone. I think it's a phone. There's definitely some sort of phone thing.
Okay.
And it's by T-Mobile, maybe?
Okay.
Could be Verizon. I think it's T-Mobile. And there's this tall woman with long black hair and this great smile, and she wears like a pink-purple dress.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but I know this woman. And she's selling something, and I'm well aware of her.
All right, so there's one part of the ad works, and the other part doesn't. Because the point of the advertising is to remember the product, get them to buy the product.
Yeah, so it may be a failure on FX, but that woman is attractive. And it's definitely working. But the thing that came to my head was, who's the audience for this phone? And I guess it's funny to think of, why'd you get that phone? Does it have really cool features? No, I want to fuck the chick in the ad.
Naturally.
But getting back to Two Broke Girls, watching it was a weird alien experience because I don't watch television shows with laugh tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like the show didn't trust me to know the jokes, to get they were telling jokes.
Right.
And also, it looked so fake. Fake.
The sets and whatnot.
The sets were so artificial looking. And I know some people be like, yeah, it's a sitcom, not real. But I it was very hard to wrap my head around that. But Kat Dennings' hotness carried me through.
Good.
Carried
I'm
me
glad.
Through the other sheet. It put me on her back and carried me through. And I had to promise not to try to cup. Okay, anyway. But I've only seen the first episode. I've read online that the second episode is awful.
Yes, I've read that as well.
And that the third episode is better. Maybe I'll watch it, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I'm like in the fourth season of 90210, so clearly I will watch awful television for long periods of time.
Yes, yes. So. I generally limit my awful television to when I'm at the gym, because I don't have an iPod, and if I had an iPod, I would download podcasts,
come on.
Music, go to the gym and listen to that.
What are you waiting
that.
On? Why don't you have an iPod yet?
I'm lazy about that kind of thing, and there's a part of me that's content to watch the shitty television while I'm at the gym. There's a part of me that's like, fine.
You don't even
this is what's keeping me connected to the mainstream of American culture.
Let me sell you real quick.
Okay.
You don't have to get the most expensive model.
I know. I know there's plenty of cheap.
You
I can get an old one. I
you
know.
You can get the little nano.
Look.
It's a clip.
I know all these things.
All right.
But.
This is the best fucking podcast right
whatever.
Now.
Whatever.
Best fucking podcast on the internet. I just said puckin'.
That's what makes it so great.
That's what makes it so great. All right, let's tie this up in a little bow. What's going on next for you?
Project-wise?
Yes.
We have two short films that I wrote that Mike McCallum and Tony Griffin, they each, like, Griffin shot both of them. Mike directed one. Tony directed the other one.
Mm.
Those are finally getting put finished in post-production, so those should be coming out soon. One is called Bunk, and the other one is called Memento Mori.
Okay. I don't hate either of those titles.
Good. That's a good start. It's a good start. One is black and white.
I don't like that.
The other one is not black and white.
I like that.
Good. Okay, we got him on one of them at least. there's another short film that me and Chris Capshaw did. With our own company, Hard Boiled Productions, that basically we're just looking for the right music to put over it.
Okay.
And then it'll be ready to go out. I got those two feature screenplays that I'm sending around. I got a bunch of other features that we're trying to, in different stages of development, trying to get those produced sooner or later, usually later.
If I were to try to find you on the internet,
yes,
what should I look for?
I have a website that is very infrequently updated. I haven't written a new blog post in a long time.
What's the address?
It is just justinmuschong.com. JustinMuschong.
Are you on Twitter?
I am on Twitter. As a matter of fact, I think Twitter is what makes me not update the blog very so often, because I'll have a random thought and I can tweet that, and I don't develop that thought into further thoughts that might eventually become a blog post that's insightful or funny or funnily insightful.
When you told me about that blog post you didn't write, I wanted to tell you too long didn't read.
which blog post was that?
The one you just hypothetically told me about.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's what Twitter is saving us from.
Yes.
Super long blog posts.
Too long didn't read.
You know?
Because I'm definitely a perpetrator of long blog posts, because I feel like if a blog post isn't, three or four good, solid paragraphs, it's not long enough.
Now,
it's not really a blog post. It's just
that makes you sort of like an outsider of the current blog environment, which, I don't know if you know this, is to co-opt a picture from another location,
yes,
post it, and sometimes, it used to be, say something funny underneath the picture.
Yes.
Now, they just post it.
Yes.
Don't even say anything.
Yes.
It's just like, here's Michael Fassbender.
Mm-hmm.
Red carpet. But they don't even say Michael Fassbender, red carpet. It's just a picture of Michael Fassbender. You know?
Fassbender suit.
Yep. Which is fine if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fine.
Fassbender's in the new Soderbergh movie. And judging from the trailer, don't get too attached to his character.
It looks like you don't want to get attached to anybody in that movie.
That's true.
It seems like they were just like, I'm a famous person. I want to be in a Steven Soderbergh movie. I'm going to put you in the beginning, Channing Tatum, and then you're going to die with a gaping head wound. And he's like, cool.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of similar to the trailer for Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yes.
Where it's pretty much, here's Tom Hardy. Here's everything that his character's going to do in the movie. Oh, by the way, his character eats it.
I didn't get that vibe.
I think in the trailer you see his character like lying dead on the ground, somebody picking up something that he was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. So I haven't seen the movie. I haven't read the book it's based on. I would like to see the movie. It looks great.
What type of hair does he have? Because I can't tell. He has different hair in every movie.
Yeah. I just watched Bronson.
Uh-huh. He's got no hair.
No hair. But great mustache.
Mm. And see, mustaches are hard to do.
Very hard to do.
Very hard to pull off.
I would, if I could grow a mustache and not look ridiculous, I would do it. But I don't think I can.
Who's your top five mustaches?
Well, I got to put my dad in there. My dad's had a mustache. I remember when I was a kid, my dad shaved off his mustache once.
That's crazy.
And I had this visceral reaction, like, who is this stranger?
Get out of the house.
Yes, like, I freaked out. I was so little, like, I had no idea who this person was.
Did he have to glue it back on, or just hide from you for a couple days?
I think he just hid from me until it grew back.
Hey, it's this guy's back! All right, so your dad?
Certainly my dad. You know, I don't know if I could... Oh, Charles Bronson.
Yes, who your dad sort of looks like.
Yeah. My dad gets that comparison a lot. Mm-hmm. Especially when I had hair, I'd get the Corey Feldman. Oh, anybody ever tell you you look just like Corey Feldman?
I want to tell you something right now. My parents watched Stand By Me a couple months ago, and my dad texted me. Do you know, Justin sort of looks like Corey Feldman? And I texted my dad back, never say that again, at least near Justin.
I don't really like get that. It anymore because I don't have hair.
Right.
So I get stuck with Corey Feldman. My dad gets Charles fucking Bronson.
Yeah, that kind of lucked out on that one.
What's with that? I remember at the Lucky premiere, Mike McCallum kept making my dad say Charles Bronson lines.
Really?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It was pretty good.
All right, so Charles Bronson, your dad.
Lee Van Cleef.
Ooh, this is a solid list.
And this is just off the top of my head. I haven't done any research.
That's good.
Most of the time I just see somebody with a pretty badass mustache. I'm like, I like that mustache.
Lee Van Cleef is another good choice.
I'm also going to go...
If you don't know Lee Van Cleef, by the way, what is wrong with you? I'm not even going to tell you what he's in.
Honestly.
Because you're disgusting. Okay, moving on.
You don't deserve to stop in Tucumcari.
That's fucking right. Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. Ambrose Burnside. Civil War general.
Uh-huh.
That's where the term sideburns comes from.
The originator.
The originator of the big-ass chops.
That's a good one.
And if I remember correctly, I might not be remembering correctly. I don't have access to Google image search. But I believe he's one of the guys whose his sideburns connected together above his upper lip to create one of those sideburns mustache combos.
This man sounds incredible.
I've always loved those.
He's dead. I can't have him on the podcast.
He's way dead.
Ah, shit.
And not a very good general.
Oh, well, he's spending all his time on his facial hair.
Obviously.
You get what you give. You know what I'm saying?
Boom.
All right, number five?
All right, I got to come up with number five. The first one that pops into my head, Pai Mei from Kill Bill Volume 2.
Oh, hey. That's real good.
Gordon Liu's ancient Chinese instructor of martial arts.
All right.
And a wonderful character.
And a wonderful character. Well, that's a pretty good solid top five. Real quick, if you had to do, let's say, a six, would you pick Burt Reynolds or Magnum P.I. himself?
I got to go with Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Tom Selleck.
Because I enjoy Burt Reynolds, but he's never, like, struck me as somebody I like. You know, he's just kind of, he's Burt Reynolds.
Right.
And I enjoy him, but Tom Selleck is a guy, like, I would follow Tom Selleck into battle.
Tom Selleck looks like the type of guy that if he shook your hand, you'd be like, that's a handshake.
Yes.
That exactly. is a handshake.
And he would look you in the eye while he
yes.
did it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He strikes me as someone with, like, boundless integrity.
Yes.
You know, like he's on that show, Blue Bloods, which yes. I don't watch. But as
Nor
I understand, it is about family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mi familia.
Mi familia. And he is the patriarch.
Yes.
And I think that's excellent casting.
I agree.
I'm pretty sure they sat down, they said, we're going to have a show, it's about family of cops.
And somebody said, oh, you mean it's going to be about Tom Selleck?
Yes. And then I think they went home. Yeah. I think they did all the rest of the work on the next day.
That is a full day of work right there.
Mm.
Time to go to sleep. I'm exhausted.
Justin, always a pleasure, sir.
Always.
We should do this again soon.
We should. We should pick, like, a topic and go with that.
Nice critique. Thank you. Thank you. Nice critique of the entire podcast we just did. You're right, though. We should probably plan it ahead next time.
I don't know, because that might it might not have
it
the
might
same...
Be, it might be awful.
It might be more interesting just to let people wander around topic-wise.
Wander around topic-wise. Just kind of ramble.
Because you have a lot of things where it's people talk about one thing, and you're like, this is very interesting, but at the same time, I've heard enough about this topic. Mm-hmm. I wish they would just move on to something else.
I'm sure somebody's going to listen to this podcast and be like, I hated it, and then they talked about mustaches, and it was the best.
It's got a little something for everybody. First, this they talk true. About writing, and all the writers will be like, yeah!
Actually,
and then we're going to talk about movies, and all the movie people will be like, yeah! And then we're going to talk about mustache, and all the mustache people are going to go, yeah! Because there are mustache people out
there. There are totally mustache people. Actually, before we go, I was ending it, but now I'm not.
I feel like we're just getting warmed up.
We're getting warmed up. So, Mike McCallum.
Yes.
I've met him a couple times.
Yes.
I've never really had, like, a conversation with him.
Yes.
He wants to be on the podcast.
Yes.
Should I have him on?
I think you should. I think you should. I think he'd be a very good guest.
Yeah.
Have you seen interviews with him before?
I've never seen an interview with Mike. I've read interviews with him, and usually he's very standoffish. It's not true. Usually he's actually very forthcoming.
It's hard to get standoffish in print.
In print. I asked him a question. He just walked away.
He had no comment. Except he gave me the middle finger. No, Mike is very, he knows exactly what he wants to say.
You have to sell me on it right now. Sell me on McCallum.
He's funny.
Okay.
He'll be funny, and he'll be direct. He won't dick around.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be like, Lauren, this is what I got to say. This is what I think.
You know how you always say, like, when you see an actor in things, you're like, you want to see them in other things. You want to see them in other roles.
Yes.
I want to see Mike McCallum in a movie where he jumps a car over something. And the disappointment of the smaller budgets is that you guys can't afford cars and ramps and things to jump over.
I agree. I agree with that.
And I think it'd be really great to have him in a stunt where he's got to jump a car over something, and then after it lands, he rolls out of it and explodes.
Yes.
And then his glasses are a little askew.
Yes.
And then he straightens them and says something witty, you know, Hot Wheels. I don't know. Something like that. You're not married to that, but it's a good start, I think.
I agree. Right now, you've got a scene, you've got a character, you got a good start.
Because
if he's jumping cars, he's either like Beverly, who am I thinking of? Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard.
He's a, you know, the shit kicker type.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be interesting to see Mike do.
You know what? I believe in actors stretching, and that might be the next step for him.
Mm.
You know?
Shit kicker, jumping cars over things. So in that case, he's got to go, like, yee-haw, as it's going over. And then when he gets out, he's got to have a line like, shit. Can't do something cool. See, this is all about the character. Now, if he were the cool type of the driver type of character, then he could have his glasses askew and just Hot Wheels. Mm-hmm. Get him while they're hot.
Get him while...
Talk about a sticky situation.
That sounds just...
It doesn't even apply. But it sounds good.
That reminds me of an exchange in Transformers 3 in which a bunch of robots have guns to each other's heads and they go, looks like we got ourselves a Mexican standoff. And then they blow each other away and then the guy goes, class dismissed.
What?
What?
That exists?
That's a real thing.
And the robots say looks like a Mexican standoff.
Yep.
Why the fuck do robots from space know the term Mexican standoff?
Because
none of them are even Mexican.
Because I'm pretty sure on the Transformers planet, which I don't remember the name of right now.
Transformicon.
I was gonna say Robot Island, which is actually
that's
even
much
worse.
Better. No, that's better.
Robot Island, that they love. They love tacos.
Uh huh.
And they love Mexican food.
Uh huh.
And the idea though that Mexico is on Earth, but they still have food on Robot Island.
From Mexico. It's like Baja, but in space.
Yes.
Millions of miles away.
Millions of miles away.
With Transformers.
Did you see Transformers 3?
Hell, I haven't seen any of the Transformers movies.
Not a single one.
Nope.
What was the last Michael Bay movie you saw?
Probably, I want to say The Island. What did he do after The Island?
He did Transformers.
Then it would be The Island. I saw that in theaters.
The Island is when you said no more.
Basically, yeah.
What would Michael Bay have to do to get you back in the theater?
I don't know. I don't know that there's anything he could. There's one thing he could do.
What could he do?
He could direct one of my screenplays.
There you go, Michael Bay. That's how you get Justin's money.
And I will write a balls out, fucked up, great action movie that Michael Bay will direct the shit out of.
Mm-hmm.
I will bring that heat.
You should write Bad Boys 3.
I should just do it, like, not even get a contract or anything. Just say, hey, Mike, just knock on his door. Hey, Michael Bay, I heard you're looking for a new project. Oh, Bad Boys 3, already written. I know you might have some ideas and shit, but this just blew them out of your head.
You know, the thing is that you've got to be very careful when pitching Michael Bay. So with a Bad Boys 3, you actually should entitle it Bad Boys Tree. T-R-E-E.
Yes.
Because that's disgusting.
Yes.
And is right up their alley. And Michael Bay would be like, oh, that's vile. We start filming on Monday. And you're like, but it's Tuesday. You mean next Monday? No, yesterday. We already started filming. You're late. Here's your badge.
You fired and you rehired.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Justin, this has been beautiful.
I agree.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
We'll do this again soon.
You're also beautiful.
Every other episode.
Should just be like,
yeah,
whatever.
Whatevs.
Whatevs. Whatevs with Lauren and friends.
There you go.
Just have a theme song.
Theme song. Whatevs. That's all you need. It doesn't have to be long.
Or just like, whatevs. Meh.
Ooh.
With Lauren and friends.
That's really good. So many good ideas from you.
They just,
you're an idea machine.
Pour out of me.
You should have a shirt that says that. Idea machine.
That's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. And then on the back it says, machine for ideas.
Sold.
All right.
One t-shirt, please.
All right, sir. Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you.
You're going to win them all.
And if we don't, we're still extremely happy.
You're still winners in front of your, in my eyes.
What matters is that we're happy with the film as it is, and other people enjoy it as well.
I think they did. Nobody talked.
It's true.
Right away. Nobody talked, and nobody had their phones out.
Nobody said shit.
Yeah. That's how you know.
And if they had, somebody would have yelled at them.
Mm-hmm. Start breaking limbs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking them off and then beating them with it.
Oh, man. That's good.
Which should be a scene in a Michael Bay movie.
Oh, man. Bad Boys Tree.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
We got all our right. opening scene.
We got it. All right, Justin. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
And there you have it. Of course, I was correct, and The Girl with Blue Eyes ended up winning Best Director at the film festival. It won in a tie with Andre Bennett's film Alice, and if you were there, you would know it was a beautiful moment. I want to thank Justin for taking time out to talk to me. You can write to me here at the podcast at lauren.kozlowski@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.